take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City.
Welcome to Eye on the Loo. I am Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and the listening audience.
Oh, we have much to talk about this morning. Much to talk about this morning. Let's start with decisions that have come out of the Missouri Circuit Court 22nd Division, or 22nd Judicial Circuit.
Division 7.
Yeah, Division 7. Let's talk about that. This is a lawsuit that was filed.
It's a lawsuit that was filed by a constituent, a registered voter, out of the 3rd Ward, challenging the election board's authority to allow Alderman Freeman Bosley to have signature
senior.
to have signatures removed off of a recall petition.
Can you just run it down for people, just generally speaking, what happens when someone attempts to recall an alderman in the city of St. Louis?
In the city of St. Louis, under the charter, you circulate a petition. And I want to say it's 2% of whatever that vote, that ward produced in the mayoral election or something to that effect. The petitioners, they go out, they get the signatures. At some point, they turn those signatures in to the election board. Under the city charter, there is no time limit on, you know, they can start collecting signatures and take a year mm-hmm. to turn them in if they want to. Under the city charter, there is no explicit right of, say, Freeman Bossie, the target of the recall, to go back and then have signatures removed. But historically, if prior to, and let me say this, the election board then has 10 days to certify the petition. Within that 10-day period, historically, the Board of Election has allowed the individual who is the target of the recall to go out and to have signatures removed. In this case, I think it was some 339 signatures that Alderman Bosley was is said to have been successful in having removed. So as a result of that, the petition fell short, then the parties are given an opportunity to collect additional signatures.
To make up for that loss.
To make up for this loss. So what the plaintiff did is she challenged the Board of Elections authority to allow Freeman Bosley Sr., the alderman, to go and get signatures removed, saying that the city charter does not give any the election board the authority to do that.
And does that is this something that is unique to the city of St. Louis? Do other jurisdictions out there have a recall practice like that?
Well, there have been decisions, and I think the city of Joplin had a similar case where the clerk allowed signatures to be removed and it was upheld.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Supreme Court of Missouri has said that if you go out and you get signatures on an initiative petition, mm-hmm. say you're trying to get a law passed, mm-hmm. you know, such as stem cell research and things of that nature, that you do not have, that the person who signs their name does not have the right to have their signature then removed. And in fact,
Well, let's hold that thought because I want to come back and lay that out a little bit more for folks. We're taking a break. This is Eye on the Loo. I'm having a conversation, of course, with Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. We'll be back. We have some ballpark discussion, too. Take the corporate village to ask the rest of the village to pay for their stuff. We'll be back.
It's another wake-up call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
Sponsored by Creevcore Cartridge World. Save big, print happy.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown. Irene J. Smith is here, of course, and we're talking about the recall effort going on in the Third Ward. That's Alderman Freeman Bosley. And, Irene, before we get back to this, the lawsuit that was filed on this effort to this recall petition, can we talk a little bit about the energy of this particular recall effort? There's a lot of high feelings running in this particular recall effort.
Very, very definitely. The issue of eminent domain is an issue that is sweeping the country. In the Third Ward, I mean, the people were, you know, property was taken from individuals, many people who had lived in the ward for some time. You know, people raised the issue, and I haven't checked this, but people raised the issue that the development bill that Alderman Bosley passed that involved taking property, that it was in the area where his property is located, and yet his property was not taken.
They didn't take his house.
They didn't take, he didn't put in legislation that required his home to be taken. So I have some very high feelings in this regard, you know,
and also, isn't there all, I mean, eminent domain, yes, but people, from my view, people have been unhappy with Freeman Bosley for a long time. I remember there was a point where there were recall efforts for Kenny Jones.
Exactly.
And the criticism that was leveled at Kenny Jones at the time of the recall is like, you've been here for 20 years. Our ward looks like somebody, you know, dropped or just neglected it and allowed it to decay. The same types of criticism has been leveled at Freeman Bosley.
Exactly, exactly. And basically people saying, okay, you've been here all this time. This deterioration has taken place. You haven't did anything, and from their view, to try to stop this.
Now you want to
use this fact to take my home.
The eminent domain.
You want to use eminent domain to take my home.
When you allowed it to, and the argument is you allowed it to decay to begin with.
You allowed this to decay to begin with.
And then don't we also have some black-white issues in this third ward discussion as well? We have the issues of who's being favored, that now all of a sudden there with the bridge opening up, white, there's some white interest in some of the money-making possibilities of parts of the Third Ward, and Freeman Bosley is going with the interest of the white business owners and white interest.
Exactly. And I think, to me, it's disturbing to me. I found it disturbing to me that oftentimes the aldermen take the position that it's either or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's either this progress or it stays this way. It need not be that way. I think that the creativity, you can take and assist those property owners who have been there. You can upgrade their homes. You can renovate their homes. You don't have to take their property. We have just gotten into the mindset that we think that when development comes in, everything has to go. Everything has to be torn down. And that's not the case. I mean, there's development going on right now in the First Ward that does not involve any eminent domain.
And it doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to. New construction is going on. They're getting ready to build another 10 houses. Another 25 are going to be built next year. And what these developers did, and, of course, they had the wherewithal, they came in and they provided home repair dollars to the families who had been there, who had stayed through all of the neglect, through all of the lack of city services, And they helped them to upgrade and improve their property so that when the new construction is come, while the new construction
it's
is coming
wonderful,
up,
mixed.
It's mixed, okay. You know. And the people who have had a stake in the community are allowed to stay as they should be because they stayed there when no one else came.
It's the idea of honoring people's commitment. They committed to, they stuck it out, they stayed there. You know, now you're going to try to let these people go. And if I could add one more layer to this, because it's not simply about eminent domain that people are coming after or coming after Alderman Bosley.
I mean, great. Barely won his election by, what, 18 votes?
Exactly.
Very controversial election.
Absolutely.
Many people believe that election was not a fair one. And
was
that
stolen.
It,
some people
was
said,
stolen.
Make the accusation that it was a stolen election. And we also have to add to this assessment of what's going on in the Third Ward is Freeman Bosley's relationship with Francis Slay and Francis Slay's candidates. Remember the Board of Education race.
Exactly.
We had fisticuffs going on in the Third Ward with Freeman Bosley pushing Francis Slay's candidates.
Right. I mean, you know, recall that they went so far as to switch the polling site.
Freeman Bosley went from
I think Fifth Baptist Church across the street to Beaumont so that they could have greater control outside of there. I remember reports of altercations with former Alderwoman Vama Bailey, who was there, you know, passing out, supporting school board candidates, and I guess was also may have been involved in assisting with collecting signatures for the recall. So it's been pretty nasty. People, I think, are getting tired of elected officials just saying, hey, well, you know, you should have kept your property up,
mm-hmm.
and we have this deal mm-hmm. to come in with what many people think, okay, it's new construction, you know, pretty much framed, not the most attractive looking structure, and you turn down all of these brick structures.
And then there's also the other piece of it that I know that Alderman Quincy Troop always talks about, and when he was a state rep too, pulling down all these wonderful brick structures to put up these temporary, I mean, these are, you're not going to see these houses here in 30 years.
Exactly.
You are not going to see these houses here. It just hurts my heart to see the brick coming down in our community.
It is. And if you look at it and you compare it, and we talked about the Team 4 plan, and this is part of it. If you look at the number of brick structures that are coming down in our community, and you compare that to the number of brick structures that are coming down in certain other areas mm-hmm. of the city, most notably South St. Louis,
it's not the same.
Structures that are far in far worse condition are being renovated. And that emphasis has not been made in our community today.
In fact, indeed the opposite. There's no emphasis there, but there's also an understanding of tear all this stuff. Yeah, just tear it, make it just an empty space.
It's depletion.
Make it look like what the Cardinals, the former Cardinals stadium looks like, a big hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's over. I think it's going to be quite interesting to see. I'm hoping that the case goes up.
So let's get back to the case discussion in terms of what the judge did and what they were asking for. So you kind of laid out what it takes to get a recall going. What are the plaintiffs asking for in this case?
The plaintiffs were asking that the court issue an order to the election board telling them that they could not remove signatures, basically,
mm-hmm.
and saying that, first of all, they had no right, they had no authority to allow signatures to be removed off of the petition.
And again, the city charter is silent on this.
It's silent on the issue.
This is a rule that was put in place, or a practice, actually, that has been allowed to be engaged
right.
in by the Board of Elections.
Right. And let's just look at recall. You don't have the right to recall, just as we were trying to get legislation passed to recall school board members.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a strong argument to be made that absent a clear expression of the ability to remove your name off of the petition, that there is no such right.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the election board only has 10 days to certify and then if you want to supplement or whatever. But these 10 days, so they're saying because the plaintiffs are allowed to supplement, then the target of the recall in this situation, Alderman Freeman Bosley Sr., should be allowed to...
That's what the court was saying.
That's what the court is saying.
And let's come back when we talk and talk about the privacy argument that was made by those that brought this lawsuit against the recall. This is concerning the recall efforts of Freeman Bosley in the Third Ward in the court case that was brought about that. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I am the Lou. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by General Motors. Northbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom and Butler Hill, look for a disabled vehicle. Center lanes blocked. And westbound 5570 on the King Bridge, look for an accident at the split there. Northbound 55 at River de Pere, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked and traffic slowing near Bayless. Northbound 55 at Rivas Barracks, there's an accident reported there as well. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 is slow from Gravois all the way through Marshall Road. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom through 270, look for heavy volume in the right lane. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and Washington Elizabeth, look for heavy traffic going on there as well. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect slow traffic. Westbound King Bridge traffic is slow from 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Northbound Route 3 is slow as you hit the top of that ramp into the Poplar Street Bridge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by General Motors. General Motors introduces 100,000 miles of coverage and a whole new level of confidence, now standard on 2007 cars and trucks. Learn more at GM.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy early this morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Patchy dense fog early this morning. Otherwise, a high in the upper 70s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. For Friday, mostly sunny, high around 80. And Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 55 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's up next right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof. Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Maple Temple Church of God in Christ presents its regular multimedia Sunday night radio broadcast at 8 o'clock every week here on WGNU. District Superintendent John Watson invites you to lift your spirit with prayer, preaching, teaching, and singing live from the sanctuary of Maple Temple, 5159 Maple Avenue. Catch the Maple Temple radio broadcast Sunday nights at 8 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU. State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. Real life. On the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. My name is Liz Brown. Irene, let's talk about what the plaintiffs, the issues that they brought when they filed their suit. The Board of Elections Commissioners for the City of St. Louis, Deborah Gordon versus Board of Elections Commissioners for the City of St. Louis et al.
Basically she said, look, you know, people who signed this petition should not have to worry about being confronted with an alderman or his representative saying, you know, why did you sign this petition?
Threatened.
You know, threatening them, to remove their name off of the petition, or at least persuading them.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that there were not threats, but of course there have been allegations that there were threats. But at any rate, the plaintiff says people should not have to confront that. They should not have to deal with someone else coming to their door, asking them to withdraw their name from the petition.
And some people may come to their mind. It's kind of like when I go into the voting booth, nobody has a right to come in there and look over my shoulder who I'm voting for and tell, and I have to defend why I'm voting for this person. That was the argument.
Of course, you know, it's certainly distinguishable because in this situation, your signature is made public.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like that you signed this petition in secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's made public.
Your address is there.
You know, you're signing in public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be several petitioner circulators present at the time that you sign. So it's certainly distinguishable from you going into a voter booth, and with the new electronical voting, I mean, you're not getting a whole lot of privacy on that, particularly if you have some difficulty using the computers, the voting machines that they have now. So that argument, I don't really find, for me, it is not that persuasive.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the argument of the fact that since it is not spelled out that the right to have signatures removed, that, and since recall is not a given right,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't automatically have the right to recall elected officials, that there should be strict compliance with the charter, and because it does not express the right to remove, then therefore the election board does not have the authority to give individuals the right to remove their name.
What'd the court do?
The court ruled in favor of the defendants.
Of Freeman Bosley
and the election
mm-hmm.
board, saying that on balance, you know, this was filed in what we call a court of equity. It wasn't a jury trial or
mm-hmm.
anything. It was a judge decision.
And who was the judge?
Judge is, I think it was Lisa
Van Amberg.
Van Amberg. Mm-hmm. I know she's handing out a lot of decisions lately. I know she was the judge in the Baptist building case as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because a lot of judges are getting hit with a lot of eminent domain condemnation cases. So What's interesting is there's a Supreme Court case dealing with initiative petitions, statewide initiative petitions, where, you know, people were allowed to remove the name, and they said, no, you can't do that. You know, the Secretary of State does not have the authority to allow people to remove their names off an initiative petition. So, of course, the plaintiffs were arguing that that case should apply in this situation because under the charter, initiative petitions, referendums, and recall are really kind of dealt with all under the same
section. So what can the plaintiffs do in the, now? What can they do? What would you recommend that they do? And then we need to talk about the ballpark, too.
Well, I think I'm hoping just to get a clarification from a higher court. I'm hoping that the case goes to the appellate court, and I think that to get a proper resolution, I would like to see the Supreme Court
deal
with this.
And it turns out that the judge said that it was an interesting last line that the judge used about chess pieces. she said that, to borrow a metaphor from another case, this court is reluctant to impose a chess-like rule upon the voter in which once your hand is off the chess piece, the move is declared final and irrevocable. So the judgment, they lifted the temporary stay. A temporary restraining order, and they ordered the City of St. Louis election rule permitting the withdrawal of signatures prior to certification to be rational and permissible, and they declined to to rescind the withdrawals, judgment for defendant, and court costs assessed to plaintiffs.
Right. It's interesting, this analogy about the chess pieces, because what this does is actually create a chess situation. Mm-hmm. You know, because on the chess board, sure, if you move your hand off the piece, that's your move. But in this situation, it is a chess piece. You know, the recallers go out and get your signature. Okay, that's one move. Then the person that's the target of the recall initiative, they make a move to come back to get your signature off, you know. And then that person who originally got your signature on, they get another chess move, you know. So
there is a final, there is a point where they say your hand is off the chess piece and that's your final move.
That's your final move, but it's several moves.
There you go. So let's talk about this ballpark piece, you were an older woman, and you were there when that vote went down. Talk to us about your recollection and your concerns that you articulated at the time that Francis Slay went against the will of the people and said, no, we're going to pay for this, even though the citizens said, no, we don't. We need a vote before we decide we're going to use tax money to pay for something like this.
Let's remember, they had a big financing piece, a state public financing piece, state and local government, the ballpark, the owners of the Cardinals.
The billionaires, okay.
Okay, the billionaires. You remember because of the efforts of everyday people, and I have to give a shout-out to Jamila Nasheed and them who went up to Jefferson City and to Alderman Troop, who at that time was a state rep, who provided a means for them to have transportation up there, and they defeated the large packet. So then, you know, you saw this picture of Francis Slay on the front of the post with his head hanging down because he didn't get what he wanted from the state. So then they came back, and they said, okay, well, we're going to do some other financing, and we raised issues about, okay, but, you know, you want a new stadium, you know, you could sell the team. Well, no, we're going to give the citizens more because we're going to take part of that money, and I believe it was $60 million of that money, and we're going to do the first phase of the baseball stadium. We're going to have condos and restaurants.
It's going to be so pretty.
It's going to be very pretty, you know, and people are going to want to come down, even when they can't afford to go to the baseball
just
game.
Just to hang out.
They're going to want to hang out.
And do some shopping.
And we're going to do this. So that was in 2001. And there were at least two of us on the board. Ultimately, Irv Clay and I, if my memory serves me correctly, I think we were the only ones who eventually voted against it. And one of the things that I raised in Ways and Means is that where is the guarantee?
There you go.
Where is the guarantee that this money will be spent? In fact, when we were debating this on the floor, I offered an amendment. Amendment that would have required that a certain portion of money be spent for this. And my colleague said, oh, it's a good amendment, but we'll only support the amendment if you support the bill. And, of course, I was not supporting the bill. I was just trying to make it better and protect the interests of the city of St. Louis. Now, wind up, go 5 years forward. Ooh, once again,
you were right in your assessment. You were right in what needed to be done. 5 years later, these same folks are coming back to us and saying, what, Irene J. Smith?
Well, we have enough money to do a couple of blocks, but really we don't need to do that. We need about $650
million. $650
million! to get this done.
And we need from you all...
About $100
million. About $100 million to get this done. Now, also, don't we have to have this discussion about the threats that were being hurled out there? The Cardinals are gonna leave. They're gonna leave. We gotta give them. You gotta negotiate with terrorists. You gotta give them their money. You gotta give them their money, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it was the thing that, you know, I would tell people, I said, come on, just look at this. I mean, look at it from market penetration. The Cardinals have one of the biggest, if not the biggest market penetration fan base in the country. St. Louis, number one fans in the country. And I took the position, I said, the Cardinals are not going anywhere.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
And people said, well, we're not willing to run that risk. You know, I said, you could just listen to the tone of the president of the Cardinals. I said, listen to what he's saying. This man they don't want to go nowhere.
They just don't want to have to, the billionaires don't want to have to come out of any money, right, in their pockets.
And hey, like I said then, I don't have no problem against the business people. That's how you make money in America. You spend somebody else's money. In this situation, they want to spend our money, just as we said.
Now they're coming back. Oh, it was good, baby. Well, I want some more. I want some more of your money. We'll be back, folks. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed? Well, washers and dryers and refrigerators and stoves at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Come on down, get your shop on. It's looks like it's a fall, my favorite season. Why don't you get a leaf mulcher? Why don't you get a generator? Why don't you get what you need? Take your Sears card, get on down to 3425 Union, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, this is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Each Friday, my co-host Connie Mitchell and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects, so come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. The unmitigated violence continues in Iraq with a report of 60 bodies being found shot to death and tortured in the capital city. Most of the bodies were discovered in West Baghdad, an area populated largely by Sunnis. Authorities have not yet been able to establish identities for any of the victims, and they cannot say for sure whether they are Sunnis or Shias. In addition to these bodies, car bombs yesterday killed at least 22 people in Baghdad. A mortar attack in the middle of Baghdad wounded one Iraqi policeman and a number of civilians, and another American soldier died from injuries suffered in combat actions in Anbar province. And Dateline Mexico City. The High Court of Mexico has now declared conservative candidate Felipe Calderon the president-elect after considering the results of the July elections now valid. Their decision cannot be appealed, and there is no place else for the challenger Andre Lopez Obrador and his PRD party to appeal to. Calderon received just under 15 million votes. That's some 230,000 more than Obrador. This clears the way for him to take office on December 1st. The court said in its ruling that although there were irregularities, including undue intervention by President Vicente Fox, they were not significant enough to change the final outcome. Mass street protests have occurred since the July vote, and a month-long sit-in has taken place near the capital city in near the capital in Mexico City. Those protests may now escalate even further, with critics already calling the court ruling blatant theft and a hijacking of the Mexican political process. This is your wake-up call global news update. State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call and Eye on the Lou. I'm Liz Brown here with Irene J. Smith. Ballpark mania. They want to come and get some more money from us. Francis Slay, where is he on this?
Francis Slay supports this. His spokesman said anyone that criticizes it is just a small thinker.
Kind of like George Bush.
If you disagree with me, you're a small thinker.
No, you are
you're
the
wrong.
You're the Taliban. Okay, you are the you want to kill Americans.
And that's what amazes me. And that's really something that I think that George Bush and Slay have in common. Mm-hmm. And it's this inability to compromise and to negotiate, to try to get the best of both sides.
It's that psychological thing that Dr. Justin Frank was talking about when he was analyzing the psychology of George Bush. It's this, either you are one of them or you're one of us. And when you only see people like that and you are in a position where you've been elected to represent all people, You're only going to push for your issues, and everybody's going to be the enemy. And that's exactly what Francis Slay does. It's either the enemies list or the friends list.
I mean, we see it with the school board.
Yes.
Now, here is someone, as long as the individuals that he controlled were in control of the St. Louis School Board, you know, he had, you know.
There was hope.
It was hope.
It was working.
Even though the certification was plummeting.
Over two dozen points.
Right.
Over two dozen times.
Mm-hmm. You know, this thing when the citywide elected officials came out to get this push to get these kids back to school, you know, Francis Slay was nowhere to be found.
So let's fast forward. Okay, Francis Slay is mad at Diana Borzo, who he's never met. And here's the other piece that's he's so out of touch. During the Labor Day parade, okay, the out front were the teachers union. Okay, they were marching in the Labor Day parade, and right in front of them, Francis Slay. Francis Slay turned around and was shaking hands with people. He shook the hand of Diana Borzo. He's so out of touch, he didn't even know who. I submit he doesn't even know whose hand he was shaking. He's refused to talk to this woman, and then his lackeys are saying, well, he'll talk to her once Peter Down retracts that article that he wrote calling Francis Slay Bull Connor standing in front of the school because he's not giving them the school the $4 million in tax money that they got from the businesses. And fast forward to when Bill Clinton was here.
It's my understanding, you know, I was talking to a member of the International Urban Institute who went to the rally on Saturday for Clara McCaskill at the pageant with Bill Clinton, and he said he was making note of who was there, and he said notably absent he said he didn't see Francis Slay. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But
and we have another person. We're going to have another report at the Urban Institute of that as well.
And he said he was looking around, making note. You know, he said he was writing down. He, you know, of course, he talked about the absence of members of the Black Caucus. And mm-hmm. he was saying, well, you know, supposedly they had some type of meeting or something like that. And then, the Congressional Black Caucus was mm-hmm. was in session, had
their weekend
mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. So, and he said Francis Slay wasn't there, and I told him, he said, you know, that think about him as a Republican. I said, to me, if you look at his policies, they are very Republican-like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see.
How are you not there when Bill Clinton is in town? How are you not? And you are the mayor of the city of St. Louis. It's a fundraiser for a Democrat to be the United States Senator. And it's just right down the street from your house. You know, why, you know, how do you not go and have a prominent role in that?
I mean, just think of who was present when Slay was sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall, I believe Matt Blunt was at his side.
Mm-hmm. And also the Speaker of the House was also there. So.
And I'm not saying that you don't have relationships with these individuals.
Well, when
because
you, have
you
a,
certainly do.
No,
but it's a difference. You're getting sworn in.
I think you have to raise the question of if you're going to use the word relationship, because if you see people, as we've described, as the enemies and the friends list, then the people that are next to you, your friends, and the people that ain't there are your enemies. You know, so we can see who your friends are because you don't have that nuanced, open tent type of personality. You have an enemies list and a friends list. And if the person standing to you, next to you at your swearing in is Matt Blunt, that's your friend.
I mean, and we've seen it, you know, relative to slavery. With even the budget, I mean, when Darlene Green and Shrewsbury voted together, I mean, the mayor like went ballistic,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he did not get his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy that we defeated A, B, C, and D,
mm-hmm.
Because had we not, we would not have that, you know, check.
That's
on
right.
the executive branch with a, you know, under the changes that they were proposing, you would have had a director of finance who would have been in lockstep with the mayor.
Let's hop real quick here to stem cell politics, money, some stuff, upcoming stuff in this this election we have coming up in November.
There's a lot of money that has gone in.
Money.
And everybody is trying to get a piece. People are asking for $600,000 proposals. Woo, my.
$600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, $1 million, $1 trillion, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. People are asking for every single bit of money that there is out there, from $10 to $15 million for stuff. That is what is going on out here. And one of the things that we are seeing, and while people are trying to get $5 here, $10 here, $100,000 here, are where people's politics are. And the interesting thing is that we may be seeing some stories in newspapers that have to do with an effort to get $600, $700, $800, $50 million out here.
Or who they were able to get money from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it gets to the point where you see a news article that is supposedly unbiased, you know, at least balanced, and it's taking one side over the other and not really laying the facts out there, you probably better rest assured that they either got some money or are trying to get some money from the supporters or the opposition.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece of it is that don't be persuaded. Think about the money that people are trying to get. This is, I submit, Irene J. Smith, that this is going to be one of the elections that a lot of places that we are looking to, or some of the places that we're looking to get information, it's really going to be crafted by the amount of money that they get out of some of these very, very, very wealthy campaigns. Stem cell has a lot of money. People want a lot of money. They see the money that's available. It's kind of like when gambling came to town. There was a whole lot of money that gambling spent on people. People went to gambling with $300,000, $500,000, $600,000, $800,000, $900,000 requests because there was a whole lot of money there. This time, people, we're really going to have to do our homework, and I'm excited that the International Urban Institute is going to be here to help educate people
exactly,
on this stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And what people need to stay tuned for is this. We have elections coming up. We have the Even Ward elections coming up in 2007
that's
in March.
Right, that's right.
We also have the President of the Board of Aldermen
that's
election.
Right. That's going to be fun.
That's
going to be fun.
Some interesting developments.
That's right, that's right.
John. Francis Slay on the move.
There you go. Listen, folks, this is Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. Thank you, Irene J. Smith. And I will see you, talk to you next week. Same time, same place.
Same time, same place. I'm going to dash out of town for a minute, but I'll be back Saturday morning, International Urban Institute, 9 to 11, 1020 North Taylor. Hope to see you there.
All right, now. We'll be back.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. This is being called the biggest auto safety improvement since the seatbelt. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more on a major announcement expected today from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Car companies say electronic stability control is more important than airbags, and Bill Kazira with the manufacturer says it could save 10,000 lives every year.
People would have the chance to experience stability control and realize the life-saving capability of this technology. You will not drive another vehicle without this technology.
It reduces the chances of a rollover by slowing the engine and applying the brakes when it senses a car veering out of control. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
He wasn't a dictator. It just appeared that way. A comment from the chief judge in Saddam Hussein's trial is getting a lot of attention. The judge said the only thing Saddam did wrong was surround himself with the wrong people. They're not going to forget this anytime soon. A gunman dressed in a black trench coat opened fire at a downtown Montreal college yesterday, killing a woman, injuring several others before police shot and killed him. More from ABC's Ron Claiborne.
A Montreal newspaper has identified the dead gunman as 25-year-old Kim Veer Gill from the nearby town of Laval, just outside of Montreal. Officials here say they still have no idea what the motive was for this rampage that injured 19 people and killed a young woman. Photographs on Gill's personal website show him posing with a collection of weapons, everything ranging from knives to automatic guns.
Six people are still in critical condition. One down, one to go. NASA's unfurled a huge solar wing. It's part of a 17.5-ton addition to the International Space Station. The other one is still closed due to a software glitch. Ann Richards is being remembered for her warmth and her wit and for kicking the door open for a lot of female politicians. The former Texas governor, whose keynote speech at the 1988 Democratic Convention pushed her to fame, died of cancer last night. She was 73. This is ABC News.
Honey, what color should we paint the bedroom?
Nah, sweetie, I don't care.
Okay, then pink it is.
Pink? Now I care.
It's the fall color sale going on now at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Stop in and save 20% on a wide variety of high-quality Sherwin-Williams paints and stains. Plus, get free shipping on custom order wallpaper, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill,
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
She's a real-life bionic woman. Kind of. ABC's Stephen Portnoy explains.
26-year-old Claudia Mitchell lost her left arm in a motorcycle accident. Now, she has a new one. A bionic arm. Mitchell has become the first woman to receive a prosthesis that moves on her mind's orders. The bionic arm is hardwired into her nervous system. She can even feel whether her mechanical arm is touching something hot or cold. Five men have received this type of prosthetic arm, but the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago says Claudia Mitchell is the first bionic woman. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
You'll have more ways to pass the time on some Delta Airlines flights. The carrier is going to offer on-demand movies, TV shows, and music to customers on some long-haul flights. Now, the screens will be in the back of the passenger seat backs. If you're in coach, you'll pay. But it will be free in first class. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, one man is charged with impersonating a police officer, and Madison County authorities are looking for a second man in a similar crime. Nathan Hammonds of Meadowbrook allegedly approached a driver on the side of Illinois Route 140 on September 2nd. Hammonds is being held on $25,000 bond. Police are seeking another man who stopped a victim in East Alton on Tuesday. He's described as a white male in his late 30s or early 40s, between 5'7" and 5'10" with a thin build and wearing a gold name tag with G. Kriegel on it. Hammonds has been ruled out as a suspect in that case. A Sullivan man will go to prison for more than 15 years for methamphetamine trafficking. Michael Powell was sentenced late last week on two meth-related charges. Prosecutors say the charges stem from three separate incidents when Powell was found in possession of meth and drug paraphernalia. Some, including St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCullough, are questioning Senator Jim Talent on the issue of wiretapping. Talent voted to remove domestic wiretap provisions from an anti-terror bill in the Clinton administration. Talent spokesman Rich Christmer says that's because the Clinton-era proposal was overreaching.
This amendment would have allowed the government to infringe upon the rights of law-abiding Americans who have no suspected terrorist connections.
Christmer says the concerns about innocent citizens' constitutional rights were addressed in the final measure. Talent supports the current terrorist surveillance program. McAuliffe and others say Talent has flip-flopped on the issue. Finally this hour, a forum on the latest cancer breakthroughs will be held this weekend in Washington, D.C. The most recent advancements in the treatment of multiple myeloma will be among the topics discussed. Multiple myeloma is a rare blood cancer that disproportionately affects the African American community. More information for cancer patients and caregivers is available online at www.curetoday.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your local REMAX office. Looking to buy or sell a home? Search with REMAX. At REMAX.com, they have millions of listings and outstanding results. Visit them at REMAX.com. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 55 at River de Pere, the right lane's closed due to an earlier accident. Traffic's backed up through near 270, northbound 270. At Tesson Ferry, look for an accident. Left center lane is blocked there. Southbound 270 at Olive, there's an accident reported to center lane, and traffic is slowing near McKelvey. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road all the way to 79. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Marshall, it is slow. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to McKnight, slow there as well. And in both directions, 44 at River de Pere, there's road construction left lane and is causing delays near Elm. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for heavy traffic. westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. You've got heavy volume going on there as well. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge and into downtown, expect delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Hey, Cardinals fans, did you get your Turn 2 with McDonald's coupon yet? 2-for-1 Cardinals tickets, final home games of the season. Hurry in whilst there are still some left. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been... Now let's take a look at your WGNU weather for today. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. May still see some patchy, dense fog throughout the low-lying areas, so do use caution as you're driving around this morning. The high should be in the upper 70s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low in mid-50s. For Friday, mostly sunny with a high around 80. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 56. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's Thursday. It's 8 a.m., 8:11 to be precise. That means it is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here in the studio with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, today we're going to kind of just spend the day talking about upcoming elections and the death penalty and some other things that we're going to be talking about as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of developments, one with Judge Gatton, and people will know that he's the one who has held up executions for the past several months because he's forced the Department of Corrections to rewrite their protocol for execution.
And we're going to take a break in a couple of seconds, so let's hold off on that report. But what else are we going to talk about?
And we're also going to talk about, you know, what candidates are supporting the death penalty, what we can look forward to in the General Assembly come January. And then we have an update on a case that I think people will find pretty fascinating with Charles Armantrout, who was on death row.
And also one of the things that we were unable to talk about last week are some interesting stories that are coming out about the death penalty all across the country. Who is asking for the death penalty? How do we respond to that? The different circumstances of the death penalty, because I think people would be surprised to know and to understand that it seems like almost every month there is a new issue or a new case that is involving someone somewhere in the death penalty. And as Irene and I talked about, we have some real interesting elections that are coming up in the fall, and some real interesting issues coming up in the fall. And the strategy of looking at the candidates as it pertains to the death penalty is really similar to the strategy and the philosophy that we need to be using when we're assessing candidates on all other issues.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that people should only hang their hat on that issue, but certainly in the context of a platform of all issues, what is going to be in the best interest of our community.
And also, Jamala, one of the things that I would like to also talk about when we come back and begin our discussion is, what is the strategy? So you have a candidate that is for the death penalty. Okay, you have both candidates that are for the death penalty. What are the strategies that we need to engage in to get the candidate that you choose out of the two to your place? What are the things that we should, what are the incremental things that we need to ask for to get us to the place where our candidate is not for the death penalty? And is there such a thing as soft death penalty support or hard death penalty support? Is that what we have going on in the election for Senate? Soft death penalty, hard death penalty, impenetrable death penalty support, non-penetrable, you know? So we have to talk about all of that.
No, it's very complex.
Yes, it is.
We need to understand that it's no black and white. It's many, many shades of gray.
All right. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. We'll be back.
Radio Mix. Nuevo concepto en radio. La música que te gusta. El torneo que te encanta. Por la nueva de San Luis. Con todos los éxitos del momento. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8 de la noche. Radio Mix. Por el 920 AM. Escucha a través de la red electrónica. En internet. WGNU.net. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Brethren, I wish above all things ye prosper and be in good health, even as the soul prospers.
Join Minister Ernest Greenlee, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown every Tuesday evening at 8, beginning September 12th, for the Pastor's Hour to Empower here on AM 920 WGNU. Learn about real solutions to real issues. What is wealth without good health? What is good health without wealth? Learn how none should suffer lack. That's the Pastor's Hour to Empower, 8 to 9 every Tuesday evening, beginning September 12th, on AM 920 WGNU.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believe them.
What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believe them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, let's talk about the politics of the death penalty and politics in general in terms of people coming to discussions and strategies of how we get people involved in our issues. Can we start with kind of what we were just talking about? I want to talk about what you were just talking about off the air in terms of social justice issues and religious people coming to that issue. Talk to us about that, because I think that helps us with analyzing the kind of strategies and the kind of push that we can engage in to get people to move on our issues.
Exactly. And I think people should know that the death penalty right now is coming into center stage. I mean, one of the things that even around Missouri and Judge Catan's ruling, and he's had two of them so far, and we'll talk about the latest one, but all across the country that's being looked at and reported on, because it's going to have a huge impact. And even the American Bar Association, when they have their conference here, mm-hmm. the death penalty is a centerpiece.
Yes, it is.
So this is something that people are talking about. This show has helped to open it up to the public domain and have people really delving and asking questions in ways that they hadn't before.
And examining their own selves and their own positions.
Exactly. And that is the reason for that kind of discourse. And people who have varying views, you know, we don't have a problem with getting them all out there and laying them open and people talking about that. And so one of the things that I know is going to happen on Monday and Tuesday is and some people think it's in response to the Juan Williams book, Enough, and there's a long title to that because mm-hmm. he says do nothing, Negroes, and misleaders, and dead movements. I mean, that's all part of the title, but really what he does is to criticize particularly like the religious leaders in the African-American community and the elected leaders as well. And on Monday and Tuesday, and I believe it's at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, there's going to be a social justice conference being convened by folks like Reverend Sammy Jones to respond to that and hopefully to come out of there with a social justice agenda. Now, I know that people have been trying to find out what the format is for the day, but there was also some concern that, well, a daytime conference, how, do you really want to involve people if you have it on a Monday and Tuesday? But there are some people I know that are committed to going and trying to find out and help shape that social justice agenda.
And I think that we should bear in mind that the times that we find ourselves in 2006, is the time where there is actual money available for church entities that wasn't available 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or 5 years ago it was available, but this faith-based money. So now it's almost, in some respects, you can define people by their willingness to pursue this faith-based money, because ain't nothing free. And if you're taking this faith-based money, there's also a social agenda that comes along with that from this administration. And you have to look at the, you have to ask, now you have to ask the question of, how is this a money thing? Is this another effort to try to carve out and find a way to get money? Or is this really something that the churches should be doing?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, and I know I've had some people who said, well, what's wrong with taking the money and doing good things with it? And the problem with that is sometimes that's indistinguishable. I mean, you can't tell who's taking the money for the right reasons, particularly if it's the wrong agenda. Mm-hmm. So,
and there's no database, there's no searchable database of all the churches out there that have gotten faith-based money. If there were, because that way we could follow up to see if good things are happening with that money that they're getting out there. We don't know who the churches are. And quite frankly, there should be a faith-based database where you can go in and pop in the names of churches and or just search the churches to see who's gotten the money and what exactly they've done with it.
Exactly. But I think the proof is really in the pudding. I mean, when you look at what people do in the community, what issues they stand up for, that is, to me, the most compelling thing, whether mm-hmm. they get money or not. And there's some people who've never gotten money but have just done the right thing. So I think that the social justice conference is going to be interesting. You know, in terms of what comes out of it, who knows the reasons why, but I know that in the article in the paper that announced it, it talked about Juan Williams and the fact that folks are responding to his charges. And I mean, he named names and he talked about, you know, the Al Sharptons of the world. I mean, he really, if you know Juan Williams, you know that his stuff is not.
No, and of course, when you have some, Juan Williams sits next to people that hate him and attack him every day, every Sunday morning.
And he takes it.
So you have to ask the question. I mean, it's easy for him. Everybody that he works for goes after Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson as well. But we do need to have a discussion about what is the role of people in the clergy. What are they doing? I mean, because we know that Al Sharpton has problems. He took money from Tyson. He's taking money from I believe there's a Walmart connection. So we need to, all of this needs to be examined, and this will be a very interesting thing.
This will be a very interesting
particularly
thing.
Particularly Sammy Jones. When you were at the forum that I was, and Sammy Jones said out of his mouth about you need to be evaluated by how much money you have in your pocket. One of the things that he said. So I'm very interested to see social justice.
And how much money he has in his pocket.
There you go. There you go. So we need. I think that this is a good thing, and I think that people should be very interested in this and follow this.
No, this is exactly the kind of thing that we've been encouraging. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage people to go. You may not be able to go during the day, but certainly I think it's some evening sessions. And if we get the format, Liz, we'll try to get it to you. But I know people have been calling, and there's not been any return calls.
That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. But the fact that whatever reason is reactionary, if they only are doing it because Juan Williams has embarrassed them nationally, but I would think that if they weren't
embarrassed before then.
Well, I don't think so. But I think Juan Williams has tapped into a growing sentiment in the mm-hmm. in African-American communities all across the country, and that is there's a huge disappointment about the way that our clergy have been.
I remember having when I was doing the book club, and one of the books that we did, Pimps in the Pulpit, and I remember the weeks that we covered that book, we had hundreds and hundreds of people coming out to the book club. on this little tiny 35-page book, Pimps in the Pulpit, because of that existing sentiment, the disappointment. And there are some fabulous people out there that are doing wonderful, wonderful things, and doing everything that you're supposed to. But there is a group of people that are not.
Right.
And particularly with our needs the way that they are right now, we need people on Front Street doing the right thing without being a pimp.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as you said, there's folks who've been out there all along, whether there was money or not. And when I think about the upcoming elections, you know, people don't think that, you know, the clergy needs to be involved in elections with the whole, you know, line between church and state. But when you're talking about issues, and if you're talking about how do you manifest your Christian beliefs, it has to be in service to the people. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way that you measure, and sometimes that may take you into the realm of electoral politics.
Our world is determined by the nature of the politics that are practiced in our community. The church cannot, I don't believe that the church can divorce itself from politics. Your people are hungry in the city of St. Louis, partly largely because of the politics that are practiced. They're homeless largely because of the politics that are practiced. How can a church divorce themselves from politics?
I don't think they can, and I think there's a difference between proselytizing and, you know, advocating for people in that arena. So I think there is a real difference, and I think a lot of times people think, well, that means they're going to push their religion on me. But, you know, the advocacy and standing up for people comes in many, many different forms.
Absolutely. And I am talking to Jamala Rogers. This, of course, is Justice for Reggie Thursday. And measurement, I believe, measurement of your position as a clergy person on the death penalty is something that everybody needs to be evaluated upon.
Yeah.
We're going
to
be back.
Think about the man called Jesus Christ
and what
happened to him.
There you go. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 55 at River DePere, that accident's been cleared. Traffic still backed up to Lindbergh at this hour. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry, disabled vehicle. Left center lane is blocked. Traffic slowing near 55. Southbound 270 at Olive, that accident is now on right shoulder. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79 at traffic's easing. Northbound 270 from Sappington through 44, expect slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through McKnight, expect slow traffic there as well. Northbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom and 270, no problems to report. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry all the way into New Florissant. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley. Look for very heavy volume going on. And westbound 40 from Brentwood through McKnight is also slow. Southbound 170 at Airport and 70. Look for heavy volume going on. And all your approaches in the downtown are jammed at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Now there's three new pick-and-play games, plus the four you already love from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy throughout the day. May still be some dense fog and patches in low-lying areas. Otherwise, a high in the upper 70s for this evening. Mostly clear, low in the mid-50s. Friday, mostly sunny, high around 80. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 56. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920. WGNU.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area.
Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believe them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My conversation this morning, of course, because it's Thursday, is all about justice for Reggie. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back. I know that there are people on the line that want to talk about the clergy, and we'll get to that. But I think it's important that for us to get back on track just a little bit here in terms of the decision that you wanted to talk about early at the very beginning of the show.
And also the whole question of elections and who is out there that's running that supports the death penalty. In the case of the Senate, you have two candidates that both support the death penalty, Claire McCaskill and Jim Talbot. And then for the governor's race, you're going to have Jay Nixon in there as well as Blunt. And so, you know, we need to find ways in terms of how do we put pressure, how do we get people to...
How do we dialogue?
How do we dialogue?
Mm-hmm.
And
what's our strategy?
And one of the things that comes to mind, last week when I told people that they need to be going to the Bill Clinton scene, mm-hmm. and wherever these folks are showing up, we need to be challenging them on mm-hmm. the Reggie Clemens. Reverend Richard Chapman did such.
Mm-hmm.
He wears his Reggie Clemens button all the time, mm-hmm. and he had a chance to be next to Jay Nixon, and Jay Nixon said, "Who's that young man?"
No, he didn't.
And Reverend Chapman replied, "This is the young man that you're trying to kill."
And what did he say?
He tried to get away as fast as he could.
I bet he could. I bet he did.
But that's the power of, I mean, we're not going to these places to hobnob
that's
with
right.
these folks.
We're going with an agenda.
We're going with an agenda. And it doesn't have to be about Reggie, but we need to not let them come into our community with no kind of, you know, accountability.
I just want to marinate and just pause on that moment in time when that happened, okay? I just want all y'all out there to just stop for a sec and think about how the gears in Jay Nixon's head had to be smoking. You know how when gears catch and then there's smoke
they
can't move, and then he's got to be thinking, what the, how do I extricate myself from this? Why did I ask that question about that button? What do I do in the future? How do I not get pinned on this? I didn't know that they had buttons out here. You know, all of these things had to be going on in his mind. And then the first thing, what do they say? Flight or fight?
Mm-hmm.
He flighted.
Mm-hmm.
He flighted.
Said, well, Reverend Chapman, what did he say? I was just so interested in what could you come back with. He said not a thing, and he got out of there.
Got
away from me.
Okay.
So that lets us know that, you know, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. That means that the next time around, when he sees a button, he'll already know what it's about. He won't be asking about it, but he also will be trying to get away from folks who are wearing the button or the T-shirt. So we've got to.
And then he's got to also be thinking, are there other people out here that are going to be trying to get me on this issue? Now, in the back of Jay Nixon's mind, you've made him very uncomfortable to be where he is, because now he's going to be afraid to be confronted with this issue that he didn't know was going to be there same time he was going to be there.
Exactly. And that's the kind of, I mean, that's a simple thing on the one hand, but that's exactly the kind of thing that we have to be doing during this election cycle. These people are going to be coming in trying to get our votes with no accountability, first of all, but no promises, and some of promises have been unkept if they've been an incumbent, that they haven't kept the promises that they've made. So we have to be more sophisticated. We have to ask the hard questions. We have to.
And let's go back. Let's go back, because you're absolutely right. So let's go back while we're analyzing these races. Jay Nixon wants to be governor. Matt Blunt, we've been told, wants to run for reelection for governor. These two people in their position on the death penalty, we're going to have a contest of who can out-death penalty each other. Can we have hangings in the middle of the town square with these two people?
Exactly. And
so what do we do? How do we engage on this discussion? What can we do to push on this issue?
Well, it's interesting because in terms of the two parties, the Republican, that's definitely one of their platforms, to be pro-death penalty. It's not necessarily on the platform for the Democrats. So for a Democrat to take that position is a little different for me. And I know that Claire McCaskill was a prosecutor, and so that may have a lot to do with her position. But yet when you go to her website, you see no mention of that position of the death penalty. So that obviously is something that she's not running on per se. I suspect if you asked her what her position is, she may tell you she's for the death penalty. She may even temper it by saying, I'm for the death penalty in certain situations. So those are the questions I think we need to ask. What are the shades of her viewpoint, because it could be that there's those kinds of things there that we, some of us, may be able to live with. But in the case of Jay Nixon, he probably will say that he's the, you know, chief law enforcement for the state, and it is the law, and he's enforcing the law.
And he believes in it. I think that we will have a Jay Nixon that will say, I believe very strongly in the death penalty. He is going to out-death Matt Blunt, and Reginald Clemens is a proof of that. He went and plucked Reggie out in order to do this.
Right. So,
and we can't forget that Jay Nixon is also the person that hid the record of Dr. Death.
Dr. Death, that's right. That's absolutely right. So here's somebody that's willing to do whatever he needs to do to get that killer machine ready. He's also the person who was critical of Judge Gatton's ruling, the first ruling that said, okay, no more executions until you get this thing right. And his thing was, well, it looks like he's effectively tried to, like, you know, abolish the death penalty. Well, until, you know, you claim that this was like a safe and sanitized method of execution, and now
you are cruelly killing people, and you're saying, man, why do we have to slow down?
Right.
You know, I mean, why do we have to slow down? You know, if you're cruelly killing people against the Constitution and what this country says it stands for, no cruel and unusual punishment, you're saying, why we have to stop? Why do we have to slow down? We need to evaluate you.
And he was the same person that when a few years ago, when there was a hiatus, about 18 months of no executions, no dates coming out from the Missouri Supreme Court, that was almost willing to sue the U.S. Supreme Court to get them to start back up again.
Let's get the party started.
So it's all, like I said last time, it's almost like there's some kind of addiction, and these people without executions start to
fiend.
And so we're starting to see that happen. We haven't had an execution in Missouri since Marlon Gray's death. Last October.
Wow.
So we're coming up on an anniversary of a year with no executions. These people are starting to fiend.
Mm-hmm. So what did the judge say? What did Judge Gatton say?
Judge Gatton, in pretty much what I thought, he relaxed the he had required that there be an anesthesiologist on board. He's backed off of that, but he is saying that there needs to be a board certified physician there. So they're having to go back to the table and rewrite to include that person in there, and he's given them to October 27th to bring that back to him. Mm. So again, you know, there's some leeway in terms of what we have in terms of time, but at the same time, I think that ultimately the state is pushing, wait a minute, we won't be able to execute if you keep putting these requirements on there that are undeliverable, because all of the anesthesiologists stood down in mm-hmm. Missouri. I think you'll find the same thing with the physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And someone asked me, and I don't know the answer to this, mm-hmm. and maybe you do, because I think that may apply to the same thing that applies to attorneys. But if, in fact, there's a stand down by physicians in Missouri, can they get a board-certified physician from another state, or do they have to have certification in Missouri? And so all of those mm-hmm. things, people mm-hmm. are thinking about this
well,
and
also,
asking the questions.
And that, well, that's going to be part of the discussion that is brought to Judge Catan as well. When the state brings back, okay, these are the regulations that we've crafted out. You have to be board certified, but you don't have to be board certified in the state of Missouri, or you have to be board certified in the state of Missouri. And these are the ways I think that people need to weigh in on this in terms of, well, okay, if we're going to have board certified, we have to also say that there aren't any complaints against you, that you haven't been kicked out of different jurisdictions within the state of Missouri to practice medicine. There have to be all kinds of things in there. And I think that social pressure can be brought to bear with that discussion as well.
Right, right. Now, it is saying that the courts did specify that the physician must be in good standing with the state's licensing board and shall not have any disciplinary actions against them.
Okay, well, then that cuts out a whole lot of people that really would have gone for this.
Oh, sure.
This cuts out all this.
Sure.
This cuts out Dr. Death. Dr. Death couldn't have had this gig if these types of basic fundamental regulations had been in place.
Dr. Death is now unemployed.
Exactly. And the other piece of this is that it makes it easier for physicians to stand down when you have to be in good standing to be part of this.
That's for those people who even want to do that
exactly.
kind of thing.
Exactly.
And so I'm hoping and encouraging those physicians in the state to stand down on, you know, being a part of a cruel and inhumane, method here in this state, because I actually think we can shut down the death penalty here between the legislature and these court rulings. We can stop it.
And you want your doctor to be the doctor that stands next to somebody and helps kill him? Do you want that? We're going to take a break. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, 3425 Union. That's where. You need to get on down to the Sears, talk to Jerome Williams. It's fall. It's time to start clipping some trees and mulching some leaves. Where are you going to get your equipment? You're going to go to Sears at 3425 Union. That's right, 3425 Union. My name is Liz Brown. When you go and get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Kabul. Officials with NATO are expressing fear they may not have enough troops available to handle the growing Taliban insurgency in Afghanistan. The Secretary General of NATO yesterday made an appeal for members of the NATO alliance to provide more help for the Afghan mission. Most of the work right now is being done by the Americans, the British, the Canadians, and the Dutch. Some members have yet to send any troops that they committed to. The President of Pakistan, Pervez Musharraf, has also warned that the Taliban has now become an even bigger threat than Al-Qaeda to security in the region. The head of the alliance in Afghanistan, U.S. General James Jones, says at least another 2,500 reinforcements are urgently needed. The Bush administration has expressed criticism of Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and Turkey for not offering any more support. Meanwhile, the governor of the province of Paquita was killed along with two of his staff members when a suicide bomber drove up next to his vehicle and detonated a device as they left their office on Monday. And last Friday, another suicide bomber killed 14 civilians and two Americans in Kabul. So far, there have been 47 suicide bombings reported this year. And Dateline London. A British producer will soon distribute a controversial movie here in the United States. Gabriel Range's Death of a President created quite an uproar at the Toronto Film Festival. It is a fictional account of the assassination of President George Bush. It is shot as if it were a regular TV documentary and uses footage of the president during three visits to Chicago to create scenes leading up to the shooting scenario. Special effects are used to superimpose the president's head upon an actor that is depicted as being shot by a sniper from an adjacent building. A eulogy for Bush is given by Vice President Dick Cheney. The movie is set in the year 2007 and runs about 93 minutes long. Range says he himself has received half a dozen death threats since the movie was completed. It is supposed to air on a British TV channel next month and will get a U.S. release probably before the end of this year. This is your wake-up call global news update. State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, let me get to the phones for a minute or two here. Stephen, you have a question or comment?
Yes, you were talking earlier how, you know, about the clergy coalition or whatever, how they make up different groups that represent collectively, I guess, black and Hispanic community. I was just wondering if their doors are open, because it seemed like it's just centered, just they're basically all Christians. I was wondering if someone from an Islamic belief or, you know, someone with a...
So you're talking about this this event that Sammy Jones is they've said that Sammy Jones has brought together this whole justice, what is it,
social justice conference.
If it's for other people of other faiths, other than Christians.
Yeah, or even, you know, some of us that know that we're Hebrews here in the country, would it be open to everybody that
Good
has
question.
Different beliefs or had knowledge of who they actually were?
Good question. Thank you for that, Stephen.
And I would assume that it's open. It's published in the paper as an open and public event. And I would encourage people from all faiths to go there. I mean, part of a social justice faith-based agenda requires that all faiths be in there. And so I definitely would encourage the Hebrew Israelites, you know, the Muslims and all other faiths to go there and be part of crafting that agenda for St. Louis.
Thank you for that, Stephen. That's a good question.
Thank you. All right.
Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just want to make an observation. I've been listening to your program for many years. you and Jamal Jamala Rogers and Alderwoman R.J. Smith. Is it
Irene J. Smith?
Irene J. Smith. I'm sorry. Thank you. Claire McCaskill, Cynthia Sheehan. It seems like the real fighters for justice are women, and I could name a lot of women in foreign countries. But I wonder when the Mickey Mouses who are wearing trousers, the so-called men, when are they going to stand up and come up to the table and start speaking out for justice? I just wish that our country was run by women like you, yourself, and the others that you've had on your program. I'm sick and tired of the men who stand around and take money and are mealy-mouthed and liars. Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest.
Thank you, Dimitri. We're going to talk. We'll talk about that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Jamala, that Dimitri's comments remind me of the discussion that you and I had about one of the shows that we're going to be doing in terms of our perspective, a women's perspective on these issues. And we were talking about getting that done. And I think that Dimitri's point
is well taken.
It's well taken.
And it's more than an observation. It's becoming a fact of life. And, you know, sometimes that causes some tensions between
men and women.
Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, I ran into somebody at the post office, and he was saying, like, you know, same thing to meet you. And he said, like, what, you probably don't want brothers, you know, working with you or something like that. And I said, of course I do. Of course I do. I just can't wait for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When things are going on, I have to do what my heart tells me to do. And so if there's nobody behind me, mm-hmm. I got to do it.
Absolutely.
So no, I don't have a problem with working with brothers. I work with them every day on issues in the community. But I can't wait for them. So if you are not up there in the front line when I start to move, then I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. You better catch up.
Yeah.
I mean, you better try and catch up.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that sometimes because there are the polar opposites. We have the Hillary Clintons out there that are very concerning to me. How are you, a woman whose body has given birth, out here pushing for Iraq and pushing for killing in Iraq and pushing the pink ladies for peace out of your office and refusing to talk to them because they want you to stop the killing in Iraq? Those types of women are to me very scary.
They're very, very scary because what it means is that they have adopted, you know, a certain mindset that is really male-centered, and that is a very aggressive kind of approach, a very non-compassionate kind of approach. And
this whole disdain, this whole Francis Slay, the whole George W. Bush, you're either on my enemies list or my friends list, and friends is redefined as well. But there's this whole intolerance for talking, that there's a whole devaluation of talking and discussion. There's a whole disdain of the concept of, okay, let's sit down, figure this out, work this out.
Yeah, and, you know, part of it is I think the way that women are nurtured, but it's part of, I think, some intuitiveness as well,
mm-hmm.
that consensus building is more superior to authoritarian or aggressive kind of position. So at the end, there's relationships that have been built as opposed to destroyed. And so I just think it is a different mindset, and it you know, plays out in politics, it plays out in personal relationships, and it is an ideology that is perpetuated also by the folks that are in power.
And you know, and Irene and I talk about this, particularly when we look back on our efforts with the school and the organization, the community. We talk about how you try and put some brothers out there because you want there to be a good cross section of all of us, and then you put certain brothers out there, and they turn around and destroy the organization. They turn around and find ways to find money for themselves within the issue. And, you know, so you just got to do what you got to do. You know, if you're going to be there, then you're going to be there. And you know, there is this divide with men and with women.
No, it's a serious kind of situation that's going to not take more than one discussion. It's going to take, you know, helping to frame the issue and then from there having a more political discussion rather than a personal one.
Mm-hmm.
So I always look forward to those kind of discussion, and I don't think it's an either or some kind of men against women thing. I think it really is a political worldview that is being imposed, and I'm going to resist it because it's counter to the way that I believe, but just the way that I am. And so that whole counterintuitive phrase that has come out, it really is a woman thing, because
yes,
people are being made to make decisions that are contrary to their consciousness, to their political beliefs, and we just needed to look at that. But Liz, I want to, I know we got a couple of minutes, and I wanted to leave an example of how arbitrary the death penalty is. People may have heard that Charles Armantrout got his death sentence commuted, and I think one of the interesting things about this just happened in the last couple of weeks is that our friend Nels Moss, who was a part of the prosecution originally,
and we're being sarcastic with the use friend.
Okay. Oh yes, let's be clear, was brought on by Jennifer Joyce to be a special prosecutor in this latest hearing where Armantrout was told that if he gave up his appeals, that he would get his sentence overturned, and he agreed with that. So that is the kind of mess that we have in terms of the death penalty. So
wait a minute. Incestuous is, I think, a better word. The current prosecutor brought on someone who has been admonished more than any other prosecutor on the issue of the death penalty, who has been out here at the forefront of getting innocent people on death row. She brought him in as a special prosecutor. Now, she wants to be mayor of the city of St. Louis, too. That's the word on the street with Jennifer Joyce.
So there you have it. That's how arbitrary this thing is, that somebody could be told that you can get off the death penalty if you agree not to further appeal your case.
We have much more to talk about. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show. Jamala, thank you so much.
Thank you,
and we will be back.
As always, it's chock full, and we always run out of time to get all these issues in.
That's okay. We have next Thursday and the Thursday after that and so forth and so on. Before I go, I want to thank our sponsors. As always, Bishop Ward, Church of God in Christ, thank you so much for your support. Without you, we wouldn't be able to do this. And we want more churches to really take that role, to involve themselves in this show, because it is a social justice issue.
Absolutely.
And again, Bishop Ward, you are wonderful. And Church of God in Christ, thank you so much for your support. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. There's a visit today to Capitol Hill from President Bush. He's pushing legislation that he says the nation needs to win the war on terror, and that some say the GOP needs to keep seats in Congress.
Two terrorism tools crucial to the president are in jeopardy this morning, thwarted by some of his own supporters in the Senate. One is on defining treatment of detainees, the other on eavesdropping. The National Intelligence Director told reporters the Republicans' version will stop the CIA from interrogating high-value suspects.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Do you ride a Segway? It's been recalled. All 23,500 have, due to a software glitch that can suddenly throw the scooter into reverse. This is what you'll hear on a call to the company's hotline.
Customers should stop riding the Segway PT immediately until the revised software has been installed on your unit.
Now, this recall does not include the new X2 Segway, which goes on sale later this month. Big announcement today from the government. It's to keep cars from skidding and rolling over. It will require all new vehicles to have electronic stability control by 2010.
To put the announcement in context, seatbelts were the original safety feature, and they save about 15,000 lives a year. airbags were the next biggie, but actually they only save about 2,500 people a year. Well, electronic stability control is expected to save 10,000 people every year.
ABC's Elizabeth Leamy in Washington. Another major al-Qaeda player is now in U.S. military control. The man was behind the assassination, kidnapping, and bomb-making cells in Baghdad. Associate of the new leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq.
The International Space Station has a new pair of wings.
That's NASA commentator Kyle Herring as the space agency unfurled two huge solar energy arrays on the International Space Station. The job was delayed for a few hours because of a software glitch. ABC News Money Scope down 35 points, NASDAQ off 4. This is ABC News.
Honey, what color should we paint the bedroom?
Sweetie, I don't care.
Okay, then pink it is.
Pink? Now I care.
It's the fall color sale going on now at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Stop in and save 20% on a wide variety of high-quality Sherwin-Williams paints and stains. Plus, get free shipping on custom order wallpaper, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
It was just one comment, a jab at the first President Bush, but it pushed Ann Richards right into the national political spotlight. Now the woman who called herself Granny Annie and who many others called Governor is dead. Here's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
What made Ann Richards stand out, says Bruce Buchanan, political science professor at UT Austin.
Her articulateness, her Texas comfort, her sense of humor.
And biting wit, evident at the Democratic National Convention 1988 with a partisan jab at the first President Bush's speaking abilities.
Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
Professor Buchanan says Richards will also be remembered in Texas for working
to develop the economic power of the state.
Richards was defeated by the current President Bush in 1994. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Working a rotating shift can be hard on your body. Now a Japanese study says it can also increase a man's chances of getting prostate cancer. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, St. Louis police are still looking for a suspect in a deadly shooting. 20-year-old Jonathan Daly was killed and an 18-year-old man was seriously injured late Tuesday night in the shooting in the 6100 block of West Florissant. Police say Daly was seen arguing with a gunman outside a restaurant before both victims were shot. St. Louis County election officials say a statewide recount of the primary election for state auditor shows that the county's new voting machines worked. John Deal, the chairman of the St. Louis County Board of Elections, says they hand-counted the ballots and found no inconsistencies with the touchscreen machines. A recount of the ballots cast on the optical scan machines found only two ballots that hadn't been counted. The recount confirmed Sandra Thomas as the winner of the Republican nomination for auditor over Jack Jackson. Finally this hour, the Missouri Progressive Vote Coalition is calling on Senator Jim Talent to oppose the privatization of Social Security. Rich Krismer, a spokesperson for the senator, says he's always done just that.
Senator Talent is strongly opposed to privatizing Social Security. Social Security is a program that's worked well for millions of Americans, including Senator Talent's parents, and he wants to protect that system, and he is strongly opposed to privatization.
ProVote says the privatization of Social Security wouldn't guarantee people the money that's rightfully theirs. They're calling on all members of Congress not to back the president's goal of privatizing Social Security. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Advil Arthritis. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 270 at Sappington and 44, look for slow traffic. Southbound 270 at 70 and Page, look for stop-and-go traffic. There are a number of construction areas going on throughout the St. Louis Metro, St. Louis Regional, St. Charles, and Metro East. So just use caution as you roll through those work zones. Other than that, the only delays you can really expect now are rolling into the downtown area in the final morning rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Hey, Cardinals fans, did you get your turn two with McDonald's coupon yet? Two for one Cardinals tickets. Final home games of the season. Hurry in while there's still some left. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy this afternoon, high in the upper 70s this evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. For Friday, mostly sunny, high around 80, and Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding at 56 degrees. Lambert Field also is reporting 56 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you discuss?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Don't forget that the Wake Up Call is archived every hour of every show. archived at whiterosesociety.org. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. And I want to, if you don't mind, I want to talk a little bit about, I want to remind you, I guess, about the consequences and what people can do and the issues that are out there. What am I talking about? I'm talking about specifically the path to 9/11. There's still more fallout with respect to that. American Airlines is prepared to pull its advertising from ABC in order to protest the portrayal of American Airlines in the recently aired movie The Path to 9/11. I expressed to you, I explained to you yesterday how The Path to 9/11 is nothing but a right-wing, radical, dunderheaded attempt to take blame off of Boy George and place it on Monica Lewinsky. When all else fails, blame it on a woman, blame it on Monica Lewinsky, and then blame it on Bill Clinton. That's what this is an effort from the director of the movie, from the screenwriter of the movie, from the man who funded the movie, David Horowitz. We have nothing but a radical right-wing, dunderheaded project. If you look at the issues that were of concern to Bill Clinton and his lawyers, it's the same nonsense that was penned by David Horowitz. It's Bill Clinton's fault. 9/11 was Bill Clinton's fault. Sandy Berger's fault. Know that. But American Airlines is also now involved in it. It was, and remember, ABC, Disney, you know, they're the same people that said, we're not going to distribute Fahrenheit 9/11. We're not going to distribute Michael Moore's movie because it's too political. Where's the liberal media? A media company says that Michael Moore is, we're not going to distribute his, but we're going to distribute this right-wing movie, The Path to 9/11. Where's your liberal media now? I'm just asking. And then they go so far as the movie makers, the right-wing movie makers of The Path to 9/11 go so far as to suggest that Muhammad Atta was flagged as a security risk at Boston Logan Airport by the American Airlines, American Airlines. And that American Airlines is somehow at fault. Huh. You need to know what's going on and what has been brought to you to try to make you see the world in the way that this administration wants you to see it. These are the people that are still that are tapping your phones and saying, why shouldn't I be able to? These are the people that want to be able to use forced confessions out of tortured confessions as evidence. These are the people that want to be able to use what so-and-so said about so-and-so, hearsay, rank hearsay, as evidence. These are the people that want to have trials of people that the people who are being tried don't get to see the evidence against them. Huh? That's this administration. So why wouldn't they? Would they bring to you a lie in movie fashion about 9/11? What do you think? They say you should be able to torture people and then use that tortured confession as evidence. Oh, Lord. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me. all the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Well, where else indeed? 3425 Union, 3425 Union, 3425 Union. That's the Sears. Get on over there. Get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your leaf blowers, your leaf mulchers, your rakes, your tools, your everything. And make your house a home, a palace, and the best customer service in the business. Look, it's time to get your shop on. Get on over to Sears at 3425 Union. Tell them I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
At the Peary Line in Chicago, fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white coat. Night when his children should sleep, but they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him, and they'll think that white hood's all they need. It's the hard life, the hard life, the very hard life, the hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hatred, in the hard life.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. This summer was the hottest in 70 years, since 1936. From June 1st to August 31st, that's summer, as it's defined by the climate data center. And we're talking about the continental United States. We here in the continental United States had an average temperature of 74.5 degrees. And that's readings from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of weather stations nationwide. And it is the hottest since 1936 and the second hottest summer temperature that the government has recorded since it started keeping track in 1895. And the only one that was warmer was in 1936. Nevada had its hottest summer on record. The first 8 months of 2006 were the warmest January to August period in history. No global warming, though. No global warming. I just want to, I want to just take a quick second here to just remember one line. Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth. Ann Richards, the writer of that line, the deliverer of that line, died. She's 73 years old. She was a governor, one-term governor from 1991 to 1995. And her election loss to Boy George has set the wheels in motion for where we are now. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth. And I would submit to you that that foot has been passed, that silver foot in mouth syndrome has been passed on to, from father to son. 1-877-920-WGNU if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget we are streamed online at www.wgnu.net. Also, I want to remind you that Saturday is the day that the International Urban Institute meets at 9 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. Be there Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We have committee meetings. We have our reports. And you need to be there. And we're also going to have our bylaws meeting as well. So be there as we work on the political issues that confront our community. We have an education report on some issues that we are already dealing with on the educational front line. My name is Liz Brown. Get up. Get to me. And I think that it is important, once again, I want to underscore... I want to underscore some of the stories that we are not being told about here, that we are not hearing about out here. The biggest stories that, the big news stories that you are not hearing about. And the one I want to kind of a couple of them I want to underscore before we get to a break here, really define us. In the aftermath of 9/11, really define this administration from the moment that Dick Cheney, who shot his friend in the head and the heart, had his secret meetings with the energy, the folks that have jacked our gas up to $3 and something cents a gallon. Oh, they're dropping them. They're dropping the prices because the election is getting closer and closer. But the real deal is that we need to look at the things that are happening that this administration is doing so that we remember come November who they are. You know how when you're in a relationship with someone and he's messed up and so he wants to do some, and has been messing up. If you really look at it, has been messing up for a good while. And so he wants to buy you some flowers and wants you to look at the flowers and ignore everything else that has happened. That's what's going on with these gas prices right now. It's a distraction. You need to understand that the type of administration that we have, the times that we are living in right now, is the type of time or the types of times that last year, the Department of Defense pushed for and was granted an exemption from the Freedom of Information Act request. That's a big deal. They've never been exempt. This is a law that allows journalists and watchdogs to access federal documents. And most specifically, we're talking about 30,000 documents on how the United States has tortured detainees in Afghanistan, Iraq, Guantanamo Bay, and Abu Ghraib. These are the times, and this is the administration that we are saddled with. an administration that would, that the Department of Defense and the Department of Defense pushed for and was granted a exemption from the Freedom of Information Act. We are not safer because of that. We are not safer because of that. And check this out. That's another news story that you're not hearing about. Though there are record numbers of federal workers that have been talking about sounding the alarm on waste, on fraud, and other financial abuse since George W. Bush became president. The problem is that the agency that is supposed to defend those government whistleblowers, they've been throwing out hundreds of cases and advancing none. I mean, just feel that. I want you to feel that. The people in the government, there's an agency whose job it is to defend those who blow the whistle on the government. That's what their job is. When these cases come into this agency, they're throwing the cases out. Oh, no, we can't defend that one. That one's not weak enough. I mean, that one's not strong enough. That's too weak. They're throwing those cases out. Scott Blanche, appointed by Bush in 2004, has been throwing out hundreds of cases. And check this out, advancing almost none. How could that be? How could that be? All that is a backdoor rollback of federal whistleblower protections. Oh, yeah, and another story that you're not hearing about. Those who were tortured to death in Afghanistan and Iraq. Who authorized these techniques? Have you read that story? My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson, and we're your hosts of the show The Real Deal.
And it looks like our show is moving to drive time.
That's right. No more late evenings for us.
Tune in from 4 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening.
We'll keep you up on what's going on and maybe even make you angry with our weird way of looking at life, politics, and race relations in America.
The Real Deal with George and Seal every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening.
Tune us in and we'll take you home.
Did you know that 1 in 3 Americans believe padding their insurance claim is acceptable? Insurance criminals pad their claims by adding items that weren't stolen, or they lie in insurance applications about correct addresses. Insurance-related crime costs the average insured American $200 to $300 more a year in premiums. If you know of anyone committing insurance fraud, report it to the National Insurance Crime Bureau by calling 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing
this morning? Outstanding.
As always. I think those first two stories you mentioned, they really, you know, encapsulate just how fast this train is rolling to the station that we call fascism. Because if you can get the Defense Department to be able to hide behind a shield where even the Freedom of Information Act can't penetrate, and then put that in tandem with the fact that now whistleblowers, the teeth out of the whistleblower program is being extracted, you're basically putting a wall up from, and that's what keeps people free, at least if you're talking about being in a free society, is the ability to bring things out into the open. By denying the Defense Department to be penetrated by the Freedom of Information Act, basically they can do what they want behind this cloak, and you never know what they're doing. What resistance do you have for negative behavior if you know that no matter what you do, it will never be brought into the light? And then if you do happen to have those that are within your ranks that have, you know, the integrity to be like, okay, well, I'm going to whistleblow on this, if they go out there, they're just going to be caught out there with no teeth, and then they're going to suffer personal repercussions that affect them. So desire to do so won't be there for them. This is, I mean, in tandem, what you just said is staggering.
Well, it's part of the practice. It's part of the agenda. It's part of the mantra. It's part of the understanding. It's part of how they do things in this administration. From their perspective, government operates best in secret. That it's on a need to know basis, and you just need to move out our way when we want to get stuff done.
Exactly, and it's like they keep this pressure on, and it's almost like we'll try for the extreme and see what we can get away with so they can set a precedent. Well, okay, well, now they've gotten comfortable with this level of intrusion. So now we'll see what we can do next. And it's like every time they just move that bar closer to a state of fascism. So I used to be not one to always buy into these New World Order Illuminati-type things, and they're trying to get us into a totalitarian police state. But, man, if you look at the evidence, it sure seems like we're rolling their way very fast. I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yeah. Hi, Liz. I just wanted to touch on the subject about the show coming on tonight, Survivor. I think you kind of brought it up a little while ago.
Now they're doing this. They are breaking people up in terms of or dividing the groups up, the tribes up, based upon their race and their ethnic ethnicity. We have Asians. We have people of Africans. We have, I believe, Hispanics. And we have Europeans.
Yes. And I saw problems with the previous shows where the race, if they were not Caucasian, that they were targeted or voted out early,
mm-hmm.
or targeted at, that they were lazy or
mm-hmm.
weren't pulling their weight or
That's
their
right.
load.
That's
and
right.
they just seemed to find reason just to get them off the show.
I see. I have never watched the show, but I have read that about it.
Oh, okay.
So what's your take on it?
I welcome this. I welcome
and
this.
Why?
In the sense that every time when you... This is a very racist country that we live in, and the minute that somebody brings out or points out or shows that, okay, we got a problem here with the race issues, that now we're going to do something or make something, do something about it, even if it means separating the groups, then everybody seems to want to get in an uproar,
but
even though they know.
Well, wait a minute. Are you giving credit to this, the Survivor producers, that they're trying to address the issue of race?
No, but it's...
Okay, so who's the one that's saying, as you were saying, we're trying to do something about this issue of race? Survivor's not trying to... that's not my take on it either. The producers at Survivor are trying to deal head-on with the issue of race.
No, they're not. They're not dealing with it head on, because I don't even like how the different all four groups stack up. I mean, I'm looking at the age group, and it looks like even the black cast, the group is handicapped in a way because of their age. They got a more mature age group in their group, and then I look at the Caucasian group, and they got them, basically all of them are about in the 20s, in their 20s.
Well, there's one...
Except for one guy, he's 40-some years old, so...
Yeah, I'm quite like you, but... I'm gonna TiVo it, and
okay.
I'm going to watch it and dissect it, because I think that, first of all, I have a different understanding when the word segregate is used. When I hear people saying that this is about segregation, technically, based upon the definition of segregation, this is separating
mm-hmm.
people out by virtue of their race or ethnicity.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. But my complete understanding of the phrase segregation that is used as it applies to America is the idea of separating people by race and then engaging in acts, negative acts towards one group,
right.
And not the other.
Right.
Segregation worked great for white people. Okay, so it was fine for white people. It's black people who had different laws, who had inferior services,
mm-hmm.
had inferior, all kinds of inferior schools, didn't get the same money for their schools. It wasn't the fact that they were segregated by
exactly.
race, but how the laws were applied by virtue of that segregation.
Right.
So my issue is not that these groups are segregated by their colors. It's going to be interesting to me to watch how America responds to this, the groups being separated. What is America going? What conclusions are people in America going to draw by virtue of this? And I think we need to have discussions coming out of that. One of the things that's interesting to me already is that the Caucasian group, the European group, I think is a better way to say it, the European group has already is of the understanding that they're the front runners in this race.
Well,
why would you have I think that's the wonderful opportunity that this show provides us with to look at the conclusions, the negative conclusions drawn about race in this country.
Yeah.
You assume that you're the front runner. Why? Because you've done anything? No, the only thing that separates you is race.
Exactly.
So you assume you're the front runner because you're white. You know? So it's already, I think, it's fascinating. I think
it's going to be very interesting to watch.
And the educational background of the Asians are very, very interesting to me. It looks like they have picked people in the Asian group that have, when compared to the other groups, have more education. We have a Joe Lieberman, former person
right.
there. We have all... all other types of jobs that the other groups don't have. I think the age thing is right. I think that the European group, the white group, is younger than the other groups.
Yeah.
But they also have some really strange people on their group, too. And it doesn't seem, I mean, we have a cocktail waitress. We have a woman whose hair I sure don't understand on there. That is, I think she, I'm not even sure what her job, I don't remember what her job is. So I think it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I looked at the black group also, and the fact that they these people mainly are actors, artists, and stuff like that.
Well, no,
none of them really have no real true athletic ability behind
mm-hmm.
them
mm-hmm.
like some of the other groups, and I feel like they kind of handicap the black group in that way.
Well, it's, again, the choices of the people of African descent. You are right with the group of Africans. We have two people that are connected to the music business. One
yeah.
woman that is an actress. So that's three entertainment types of
right.
people, and the Asian people they pick. It appears that the educational background is superior to every other group in there. Remember the producers are picking these people, so we can have a discussion about what this says about America by virtue of who a group of people, who Survivor has picked, because the criticisms and accurate criticisms leveled at them prior to this is that y'all didn't have any black folks on there. And when you did, you stereotyped the
right.
black people. So now when they had a choice or an agenda to pick black people
uh-huh.
and Asian people and Hispanic people, they picked within the stereotype.
Yes.
I mean that's a discussion to start with. So I think it's going to be fascinating what happens, how it is assessed, and I'm definitely TiVoing.
Okay then.
All right.
I'll be watching.
All right.
Thanks
for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Charlie.
Yeah, I just want to tell you that I just checked with the National Weather Bureau, and 51 was the hottest summer on record. 1899 was the second, and that's about it. And 51 was the hottest. I don't know what caused that, because global warming had no effect at all as far as emissions from our industry and our automobiles and stuff like that, because that was like 55 years ago. And that doesn't make sense. So
okay, well, I'm looking at a story that is coming out of the of USA Today.
Yeah.
And they are using, as their resources, they are using the, who did you call?
National Weather Bureau.
Okay, this was from the National Climate Data Center. This
what does that mean?
Well, it's the National Climate Data Center. Those
I mean, is that a government organization?
Yes,
or is it a private organization?
It appears to be a government organization.
That's really hard to tell, though.
Yeah, it really is. And
yeah.
what they are saying that...
No, I remember the 50s. I was a little kid, and it was really hot. We had about 100 degrees. I don't know how old you are or nothing. I don't want to assume it either.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my grandpa even
me.
Died from the heat. So.
I wasn't around. I wasn't around to it that
I didn't think so.
Okay. So, but what they're saying is that across the country, from if you measure summer from June 1st to August 31st, the only summer that was warmer
uh-huh.
by 0.2 of a degree was in 1936.
I got let's see, the 51 hottest, it says, they said it was 87.5 degrees average. 1899 was second hottest with 86.4, which this year tied.
That is fascinating.
And that's about it.
That is fascinating.
The only thing I'm trying to say is that they're using this global warming as a control factor for us.
How so?
Because they determined for us how to use our vehicles, what vehicles to use, how to use energy. What we can and can't do. It's a control factor. That's all it is. I don't care what party's in the government.
Who's the we in that?
The people that run the world. The people that want to... the big corporations.
But they
the government.
They make more money when there aren't climate control or vehicle emission testing on machines.
They make more money that way. But if they really wanted to worry about the world... They would have taken advantage of all the different types of engines that we had. For instance, turbine engine. They could have used that. It's clean burning engine. They could have used that for trains and trucks.
Because they don't.
But they don't want to.
Because they
use more gas. Well, they use.
They make more
gas.
Money. They make more money on it. Got to roll, folks. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Kabul. Officials with NATO are expressing fear they may not have enough troops available to handle the growing Taliban insurgency in Afghanistan. The Secretary General of NATO yesterday made an appeal for members of the NATO alliance to provide more help for the Afghan mission. Most of the work right now is being done by the Americans, the British, the Canadians, and the Dutch. Some members have yet to send any troops that they committed to. The President of Pakistan, Pervez Musharraf, has also warned that the Taliban has now become an even bigger threat than Al-Qaeda to security in the region. The head of the alliance in Afghanistan, U.S. General James Jones, says at least another 2,500 reinforcements are urgently needed. The Bush administration has expressed criticism of Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and Turkey for not offering any more support. Meanwhile, the governor of the province of Fakita was killed along with two of his staff members when a suicide bomber drove up next to his vehicle and detonated a device as they left their office on Monday. And last Friday, another suicide bomber killed 14 civilians and two Americans in Kabul. So far, there have been 47 suicide bombings reported this year. And Dateline London. A British producer will soon distribute a controversial movie here in the United States. Gabriel Range's Death of a President created quite an uproar at the Toronto Film Festival. It is a fictional account of the assassination of President George Bush. It is shot as if it were a regular TV documentary and uses footage of the president during three visits to Chicago to create scenes leading up to the shooting scenario. Special effects are used to superimpose the president's head upon an actor that is depicted as being shot by a sniper from an adjacent building. A eulogy for Bush is given by Vice President Dick Cheney. The movie is set in the year 2007 and runs about 93 minutes long. Range says he himself has received half a dozen death threats since the movie was completed. It is supposed to air on a British TV channel next month and will get a U.S. release probably before the end of this year. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeVon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move when the engineer wanted a bite to eat. He left the monkey sitting on the...
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz. South of St. Louis, I've noticed that fuel is down to $2.05. And I just think that's great. I think it's going to show the people in November, you know, keep going. We can keep strong. And what you said a while ago about the gas, I mean, the temperature back in the 50s, that was probably President Bush's fault also, I'm sure you would say.
What, you're going to tell me what I'm going to say? Is that your new gig yet? I think you really need to just work on yourself. And the other piece of this is that it's interesting. You have been, and this is the challenge to all people who think and act like you. The challenge is to ask critical questions. The challenge is to be at least curious. I know that you don't have a good role model for intellectual curiosity, that being Boy George.
Right?
Well, no, that's Boy George. Your role model is Boy George, and he has no intellectual curiosity, so I wouldn't be surprised that people who support him don't either.
Not yet.
The challenge to you is to ask the question, why gas prices would be going down now? What is the mechanism? What is the factor? What are the issues? What are the reasons why gas prices are going down now?
The gas
prices that are going down right now are going down in preparation to, in preparation for the election that is coming up in November. And if you have someone who is so cynical, so out of touch with the average everyday issues that hardworking Americans have to deal with, Americans, because gas prices went over $3 and they will be back after the election, because they have those types of issues in their life, they can't buy the types of food that they want. They cannot buy the types of things that they need for their children, because the first thing that they need to do is figure out how I am going to get to work. So you have to ask yourself about the nature of a person who would allow prices to artificially go up to $3 in order to get money for their friends in the oil industry, and then reduce the prices in order to win an election. What kind of human being would that be? And my God, why would you want that type of manipulative, mean-spirited, cruel person in office or in control by the Congress by having a majority anymore? You wouldn't want that type of person.
Liz, I see you're changing the subject, but may I ask you a question?
You don't see that, but sure, you can ask me a question.
Popular Mechanics, this newish issue debunks all the myths about the Twin Towers being blown up or any terrorist can, you know, it was purely the airplanes. Popular Mechanics has it all spelled out, how it was exactly what they said it was, the airplanes, the fire, the fuel, and it came down regardless if you bring janitors or whoever you pull out of the building and say, oh, he heard a boom, boom, boom. Well, it doesn't mean anything. The building came down because of the structural default.
Well, thank God for Popular Mechanics, and thanks clearly that you're listening to the show. And you know what? I trust a person who was actually there as a person who actually has an agenda. Thanks for your call now. Take care. Deborah, good morning. Deborah. Deborah, you're on the Wake-Up Call.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning. I'm outstanding.
You know, let's go back some years here, too. when, you know, the Monica Lewinsky and the Bill Clinton incident, you know, occurred, and the Republican right wing and the Republicans were talking about morality. And now let's fast forward to what we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Morality is non-existent with this administration.
Isn't it interesting when people are losing their houses, when people we have hunger in at a level that has never been before, when we have people that don't have jobs, we're not going to talk about morality.
This is the debacle that's existing right now. And the American people, white America in particular, I'm surprised at how they're being hogwashed into believing and hoodwinked into believing what is actually taking place. And furthermore, with the 911 scheme, like they said, like the Democrats said, and John Kerry in particular, they dropped the ball in this incident, you know, all the way. When Ramzi Youssef was, you know, responsible, when they found out that information about what occurred the first time in 93, why didn't they act upon that once they, you know, made the transition to, you know, their administration, you know, upon, you know, Bill Clinton and the Democrats leaving office? How come they didn't act on that?
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right, Liz.
You're on the wake-up call. Car phone.
Hey, Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
That Popular Mechanics article is junk. It doesn't debunk anything. If anybody would just look into it, Project for a New American Century was behind the 9/11 attacks on this country. It had nothing to do with the Arabs. You have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. It's interesting that Popular Mechanics would be saying anything 5 years later. Why would they be saying anything? Why didn't they say anything from the beginning? Who owns Popular Mechanics? Except questions that intellectually curious people ask. Joe.
Yeah. It's just a shout-out. Those in support of Sherman George will be converging on the Board of Aldermen tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. We're calling for an investigation of the fire department.
All right. Thanks, Joe. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, I wanted to tell you the type of people that could do what they did with the gas or the people that control the slave trade. You have a nice day.
Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, manipulation for profit, and folks don't have a problem with that. Wow. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many